Christian Crusaders welcomes you to our weekly radio worship service. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our service today will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Failure is often considered humiliating. But did you ever think of success as being dangerous? Jesus did, and I want to talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, we live in a dangerous old world. That is especially true for those of us who live in a land where there are so many opportunities, and where we are asked almost from the beginning of our lives to be success-oriented. Lord, help us understand what your thinking is on this matter of success as we turn to your word this day, for we ask it in Jesus, our Savior's name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Then Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores things up for himself, but is not rich towards God. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
If I gain the world, but lost the Savior, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon must pass away?
Failure is often considered humiliating. But did you ever think of success as being dangerous? That is exactly what Jesus did, and he talked about it in our text today. You know, friends, some of the greatest possessions that we have can sometimes do us in. Let me give you an example, something as simple as your automobile. It's a pretty important possession for you and me, isn't it? We jump into that automobile and go about our daily tasks, and then we jump into it again, all packed, and go off on a lovely vacation that takes us hundreds and probably thousands of miles away from home. That's the automobile. It's a very important part in our life. If we don't believe that, just talk to somebody who has lost his license for one reason or another. Part of the life is gone, stranded. Yes, it's important. But that very vehicle that can be so necessary in our lives can also be the vehicle that can kill us. Now, that's probably a very homely illustration. But what I'd like to talk to you about today is that Jesus says that this whole matter of success that is often considered to be one of our greatest friends can be the friend out of control that can kill us. That's what Jesus is talking about in his parable today that is known to so many of us. It is often called the rich young fool. I kind of like this parable, and I like that young man up to a certain point. He was an aggressive young man. He not only had great goals, but he had some definite plans as to how these dreams of his were going to be fulfilled. He was a farmer. He was going to work hard. He would till the soil. He would rise early in the morning and work late at night. He would be thrifty and care for his money and not be extravagant in selling and buying in such a way that it would endanger him financially. And if he waited and worked that way, the time would come that he would be rewarded. Well, that's exactly what happened. He was rewarded. It tells us in the Bible that this man's ground began to really give forth all kinds of grain. Then he was confronted with another challenge. What shall I do? After giving it a lot of thought, now here is a person who is goal-oriented, very successful, hard worker. He says this, I will build bigger barns, tear down these old ones, and after those large barns are built, then I will pack them with grain. Having done all that, I will sit down and say, now, all is well. You can take life easy, eat, drink, and be married. This is the story of a man who has a lot of appeal. I kind of like what he did. There really is nothing wrong with it, is there? I don't find very many places in the Bible. In fact, I don't know if I can find any of them that outwardly says that wealth is bad, not that success is bad. I think, for example, of the parable of the talents and how Jesus said that we were to use them to the nth degree. Now, there are many passages in the Bible that tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. It's very difficult for a wealthy man to enter into the kingdom of God. We have all kinds of warnings regarding success as it is related to wealth as being something that can destroy our soul, and certainly this is one of them. But in and of itself, success, I do not believe, has ever been considered by our Lord Jesus Christ as something wrong. Would Jesus have preferred that this man slept in the morning, didn't go out and take the weeds out of the field, was not a good farmer at all, was just downright plain lazy? No, that's not what Jesus was talking about. He wanted the person to be very efficient. That was all right, but there was a danger connected with it. You know, this man in our parable today reminds me of a farm family that I had in my parish for a number of years. They were an excellent farm family. When I met them, there was a mother, two brothers, and a sister. The children had never married. They rented a farm and were excellent farmers. They worked hard, beginning early in the morning, work until late at night, did not have the latest of equipment. They were not in any way extravagant. They began to save a little of their money until one day they were able to make a down payment on a farm, which many people felt was far too costly for them. But they bought it. They paid for it. Their farm was exemplary. People would go out and take a look at it. They had all kinds of animals. It was just a fun place to visit. And they got that all taken care of financially. And no one knew how successful they were until the last one died and the will was read. More about that later. So I don't think that our Lord was opposed to that family and on our congregation who was so successful on the farm. Nor, as far as that part, was he really concerned about the man in the parable. But the problem was that this man had become a spiritual vagabond. He had a plan for his life, and for that he was to be commended. But where he failed was to understand that God also had a plan for his life. And that life was to be given first consideration. That plan, God's plan, that was to come first. And then his plan was to be a part of God's plan. In other words, his plan was to work into God's plan, or his plan could become very, very dangerous. That's the core of the sermon this morning. God had a plan for that man in the parable, as he does for you and for me. You see, God understood that this man was not just a body who was going to live here on this earth for a few years and then that would be the end. but that this man was also a soul, and that soul was eternal. And therefore, God had set up a plan of salvation in that that man could be brought back into a personal relationship with God. And while these details do not come out in the parable, we know what that plan of salvation was. That God was going to send into this world his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who on the cross of Calvary would pay the price for the sins of the world. And that this man, by grace, was to receive Christ Jesus as his Savior and Lord, and then begin to live with him. Then when he died, he would go to be with the Lord forever. And during the years that he was on this earth, Jesus Christ would be first in his life. God's plans for this life would be the ones in which he fitted his own plans. Now, I am one of those who believe that God has given us tremendous liberty when it comes to planning our own lives. All he asks is, let it fit into my plan. I don't think he's a determinist to the point that he tells us, I've got to do this and I've got to do that. You've got to be this and you've got to be that. I don't believe that that is true at all. I hear people say, well, this was a plan of God from time to time. I'm not so sure. It was a plan that God certainly blessed. It was a plan that he would said, yes, that's okay. You go right ahead and do it because it fits into my plan. I bet you and I can have all kinds of plans. It doesn't matter whether we are a doctor or a lawyer or a teacher or a farmer or a mechanic or what it is. As long as they all fit into his plan. His plan is great, and God is anxious that we do not let our little plans take anything away from his plan, that we be his children and live under him, both now while we're on this earth and then forever in eternity. While this man in the parable became a vagabond, as organized as he was in a financial sense of the word, so disorganized he was in spiritual matters. Spiritual matters were not a part of his thinking. Spiritually speaking, he lived an unsettled, irresponsible life. His success materially made him oblivious to God's plan for his life. All that counted was that he was a real success socially, financially, and in all these other materialistic ways. Friend, it is here that the Lord Jesus comes in, and he says, oh, what a fool he was. For that night, if his soul had been required of him, who would have saved him? Where would he have gone? Fully prepared, he would have said, to meet every single situation of this life. But unable to say that he was ready to meet God in the kingdom of heaven. That's why I believe those diagnostic questions in the evangelistic program that we once used in our church. Have you come to that place in your spiritual life where you know for sure that if you die today, you'd go to heaven? Can you answer that, friend, by saying, yes, I know? And if a second question were given to you, and if you should stand before God tonight and he should say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? How would you answer? I hope it wouldn't be by saying, well, I've tried to live the best life possible. You know, I have thought of you, Lord. I've been very, very busy. I've accumulated a kingdom here and all is well. No, there's only one way to answer that prayer. Why should I let you into my heaven? Because by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, I trusted in that Savior who died for me and granted me the forgiveness of my sin. And I tell you, friend, that's the only answer. And you're not prepared to die, nor am I, unless Jesus Christ has a very, very personal part of our lives. This man in the parable had no thought of eternity at all. All of his energy was to the financial and the social aspects of life, and the rest could go. Success in and of itself was what he was after. And spiritually, he was destitute. So here you see a picture first of a person who is very appealing, at least he is to me, the goal-oriented man, but the one who became a spiritual vagabond and for whom riches and success had become the danger of his soul. Well, what kind of a person then would Jesus like us to be? What kind of a picture would he draw here? How would this man's life be different had he walked with the Lord? Would he have given everything away? After he made all of this, rather than sitting down in a chair and saying, now let's eat, drink, and be merry, would he have become destitute himself? No, I don't believe that. I don't know if you know your Bible well enough to recall that there was in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke the story of a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had stolen from his fellow men, but now he was making reprimand. And as a result of that, he tried to make up for some of the bad things that he had done. He had already received Christ as his Savior. But then he turned to the Lord and said, because you're the Lord of my life now, I want to give the half of my goods that I have stolen from my fellow men to the poor, half of it. The rest he could keep for himself. I personally believe that God wants us to have a good life, but he wants us to share. He wants to fit his plan into our plan. Back to that farm family. You know, it's an interesting thing. The last brother died here not long ago. The will appeared in the paper, and much of our community was very, very shocked. You know why they were shocked? Because this family had left a large estate. One-third of that estate was to be given to a children's home, those who today took care of rehabilitating problem kids. One-third of it was given to an old people's home to care for those who could not afford to be in there themselves. And one-third of it was given to the church that the gospel of Jesus Christ might be proclaimed around the world. You see what they were doing? They were making plans, big plans. But their plans fitted into God's plan. God's plan told them how to plan. God has not spoken against success. He just warns us of its dangers unless our life's plan fits into the plan that God has for your life. That is to be his child and to live unto him in his kingdom. Amen.
I'd rather be led by his name, his name.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the service has been a blessing to you. We are dependent on you, our listener, for financial gifts that enable us to buy radio time to share God's Word. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Pastor Larson writes the feature article for each issue. To receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. And call weekdays from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. You may leave a message on voicemail at any time. You will also receive letters from Pastor Larson at Easter, Christmas, and our anniversary in September. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Once more, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, simply dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Hundreds of Pastor Larson's sermons can be read or printed. Complete recordings of the latest programs can also be heard at your convenience. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.